Arbaim shana kut bedar vo amaram to elibov heim. Heim o yadud rocho asher nishpati viyapi. Im yabo'un el menuchasi. Those very first words of Kabbalah Shabbos, such an uplifting melody, which just puts you right in the right frame of mind for Kabbalah Shabbos. You may have had a difficult work week, but once those beautiful words are sung, one is able to truly sense Menucha, the rest of Shabbos. The difficulty is what those words mean. If we spend a moment thinking about the words that we're actually saying in our tefillah, it potentially could have a completely different meaning to our entire daven. Arba'im shana kut bedar. For 40 years I was angry with the generation. Then I said, an errant-hearted people are they, and they know not my ways. Therefore, I have sworn in my wrath that they shall not enter my land of contentment. That is the beginning words of Kabbalah Shabbos, speaking about how angry Hashem is at the Jewish people and the wrath that He pours forth upon them, that we cannot inherit the wonderful, beautiful land of Eretz Yisrael. Very difficult to understand why we would want to recite this ever. Such a negative slant about something that the Jewish people did to warrant a 40-year punishment. What's even more difficult is why we set the tone of Kabbalah Shabbos by the Chazan having the first opportunity to sing, by doing so reciting these very harsh words. What does this have anything to do with Kabbalah Shabbos, a relaxing, sweet time that we have the opportunity to experience, that Hashem loves us, that Hashem grants us this special day of Menucha? Why would we read this episode that occurred to the Jewish people on Shabbos? To understand this better, we have to look at exactly what this paragraph is referring to. The answer is this week's Parsha. Parsha Shlach, Moshe sends forth 12 spies. And these Meraglim were to look throughout the land of Canaan and to come back with a report as to what they saw, what they heard, and possibly to bring things back, some souvenirs, some fruit, to see exactly how well the land produces its crops and produce. As we all know, the Meraglim came back with an evil report, with exclusion of Yeshua and Kalev. 10 of the 12 spies said words of Lashon Hara, not against an individual, but against the land of Canaan. And for this, there was the death of all people 20 and up, that they would wander in the desert for 40 years. Arba'im shana kut bedar. What does our parsha have anything to do with Kabbalah Shabbos? We must realize that these Meraglim were not simple individuals. These were not individuals that just made a basic, simple mistake. After all, Moshe carefully handpicked these individuals. Kulam anashim rashi b'nei Yisrael hema. They were all distinguished men, heads of the children of Israel were they. Rashi tells us, kulam anashim, that kol anashim shebamikra is lashon chashivus. These spies were not simple people, but nonetheless, they made a mistake. What exactly was the mistake of the Maragim? You see, we have to realize that the Bnei Yisrael were in the desert. They were in the wilderness, but all of their needs were taken care of. They had manna for food that fell from the sky on their doorposts every single day, right in front of them. They had water in the merit of Miriam. They had the clouds of glory protecting them from the harsh elements of the sand, the wind, and the sun. All of their needs were cared for. But they knew that this was only temporary. This is not the way things would remain. They knew that one day they would have to plant in order to be able to eat. They knew that one day they would have to fight their own battles. And therefore the Meraglim looked around. They looked at the giants. They saw the fortified cities and they said, a natural fight. There is no way we could win. We could not stand a chance against these people. And the truth is that the Meraglim were correct. We did have to plant. We would have to fight our own wars. But the problem was that they were under the impression that Hashem would no longer look out for us. That it would be all us. That when we would have the success of a bumper crop, it would be Kochi V'Otzim Yadi. It's my strength. It's my power. That God is not involved. And in the event that God is not involved in my life, the very great chance that we will not be able to defeat these giants. But they made a mistake. The mistake that they relied too much upon themselves, thinking that Hashem is not involved or will not be involved once we would enter the land of Israel. There's a universal quote, let go and let God. Let go and let God means that we have to let go of our own emotions, our own feelings, that we are in complete control of everything that we do. And we have to let God, let Hashem into our lives and realize that He's still involved. He's still in control. But one must also realize that it's so much more difficult to see. It's more difficult to see now. For in the Midbar, it was plainly obvious, everyone knew that the mud, the water, the clouds, God was involved. You saw it every day. But in the year 2008, when the stock market goes up, and when I'm successful in my business dealings, is it God? Or is it Kochi V'Otzim Yadi? Is it me? The mistake of the Meraglim is a mistake for all generations. That we must realize that as much hishtadlus and effort that we put in our lives, in our jobs, in our work, Hashem is ultimately the one who's in control. He is the one who is making all of these plans above. And we are going through the motions with our hishtadlus, yes, we must put forth the effort. But as much effort that we put forth, we must realize that Hashem is in complete control. And I believe this is the message of Shabbos. In our Parsha, immediately after the discussion of the Meraglim, we find the incident of the Mekoshish Eitzim. The one who is chopping wood and gathering this wood on Shabbos. And on this, the Torah tells us that Moshe could not believe it. He did not know what to do. He did not understand this individual. Which, by the way, shows us that the fact that I keep Shabbos in the United States doesn't really mean anything. Because in the Midbar, every single Jew is Shomer Shabbos. The fact that you are Torah observant is no chiddush. It was obvious. Everyone did it. To the point that when this man was gathering wood on Shabbos, violating this law, Moshe did not know what to do. I believe the reason why this individual is mentioned immediately after the Meraglim is to teach us that he learned something negative, or that there's that same potential negativity that can be derived in the year 2008 from the Meraglim. And that is our Shabbos observance. Because a person can work Monday and Tuesday and continue throughout the rest of the work week, and then on Friday they're confronted with the opportunity of keeping Shabbos or saying, I can't stop working. I need to work 7 days a week in order to make ends meet. After all, I am in complete control of my parnassa. And how could I possibly stop? Because God is not involved. He's not involved in my life. He's not involved in my livelihood. Chilul Shabbos, the desecration of Shabbos in its rawest form, is this person who is gathering this wood, who is making the statement that just like the Meraglim, that when we enter into Israel, it's all me. It has nothing to do with God. God is not going to help us. We are all on our own. And therefore, immediately after, we find this person violating the Shabbos, needing to work a seventh day. I need to gather this wood, because God is not there to look out for me. And on this, we answer the Meraglim, and we answer this person who desecrated the Shabbos to let go and to let God. Let go of your feeling that you are the one that's in complete control of everything, and allow God, Hashem, to come into your life. This is the message that we recite on Kabbalah Shabbos. We sing Arboim Shana Kut Bador, that we should learn from the mistakes of the Meraglim. The Meraglim who interpreted the lack of involvement of God's mastery of the universe and in our lives. And we say that I am going to be Mekabel Shabbos. I am going to allow Hashem into my world. And I am going to acknowledge that in fact God is involved. And therefore, I may have a lot on my head, and I had a difficult week, and I have many more things that I need to accomplish, but I'm going to let go and let God. Let us learn from the story of the Meraglim that when it comes to the observance of Shabbos, it's not just eating some cholent and eating some kugel, but it's a way for us to really affect not just that one day of the week, but our entire perspective of our lives and our livelihoods. To let go and to let God. Shabbos.